I want to go right to the word, because I feel that what God is doing is so rich, and I hope to just share a little bit. We're going to go back to the text we were in last week, Gospel of John chapter 4, talked about the woman at the well. And so I want to go back there, and I want to share a story I was impacted by yesterday as I was at a baby shower. And I want to start with that and then launch into this text that we've been in. Yesterday, went to a baby shower. Actually, it was David and Marilyn's daughter-in-law. She's pregnant with a little girl, Gabrielle. Amen. And we were rejoicing in this birth, this life that's coming into the world. Well, Christina has a sister that she had parted from through the circumstances of life, I believe some 15 years ago. When Christina was 5 years old, she lost contact with this sister and hadn't seen her for 15 years. I don't know if any of you have been separated from a sibling for 15 years, but that's quite a long time. And so, as it were, at one point, Christina had gone to the women's prayer meeting that Marilyn and Sherry and some of the other ladies, Diane, Daphne, and Sherita would go to. And at one prayer meeting, Christina said, I'm looking for my sister. I want to find her. Could you pray? Would you pray with me? And so they prayed. And shortly thereafter, if I recall it right, shortly thereafter, Rosa was at the baby shower last night. This is the sister that Christine was looking for, you know. This happened about a year or two ago, right? And so Rosa tells the story. And she says, well, we were sitting at home, and I was watching a Redskins football game. I thought to myself, for real? Yeah. And so Dad said, let's go to Target. And she's like, I don't want to go to Target. But her dad said, well, I got this cabinet I'm working on, and I need a part. Now, we're all going to Target. Now, let's go get in the car. She's like, but Dad, I'm watching the Redskins game. So she goes. They go to Target. She's on her phone sitting down checking the Redskins game. This is Rosa now. And unbeknownst to her, though, is that Christina is at Target. Can you hear what I'm saying? Christina's at Target walking around shopping, and she sees this girl. She sees this lady, and she looks at her, and she kind of like looks at her and says, that looks like my sister I haven't seen for 15 years. And so she looks at her, and she didn't say anything. She began to stalk the girl around the store. Everywhere the girl went, she would go. You know, she's hiding behind clothes and looking, all these types of things. And finally, she goes up to her, and she says something like, hi, you should know me. You know me. And Rosa's looking at her like, girl? And they get to talking, and the mother comes up, who is both these girls' mom. And they talk, and they cry, they embrace. They do all this, and this girl's prayer was answered. And so when I got there yesterday and I saw Rosa, the first thing Christina said, doesn't she look like me? Doesn't she look like me? And it was so beautiful to see her eyes light up when she talked about her sister. I just thought to myself, wow. Well, I shared that story because, and I wanted to, oh, I'm sorry, Bill, I didn't give you something. That'll help. I shared that story because of a point I'd like to make. When God asks you for something, it's because he wants to give you something. I'm going to say it again. When God asks you for something, it's because he wants to give you something. And I want to apply that to the text that we're looking at last week and draw it out of this story. You see, Christina was asked, or excuse me, Rosa was asked, let's go to Target. God, through her father, was trying to move her into position. Did you hear me? I hope you hear me, because God's trying to move some of us into position. You have to realize, when God asks you for something, he's trying to give you something. And so through Rosa's dad, God was asking her, go to Target. No, I don't want to go to Target. I want to watch the Redskins. No, let's go to Target. No, I want to see my team. God's trying to get her in position. Why? He's asking her to do something so he can give her something far greater than she could ever imagine. And so in our text last week, we looked at the text, and Jesus, what did he say to the woman at the well? Give me a drink. He asked her for something. Why? Because Jesus wanted to give her something far greater than what she could ever give him. Jesus asked for a drink, when in reality what he wanted to give her was a river. Which would you rather have? A cup or a river? I'll take the river. Which would you rather have? Looking at your little finite sports team lose? Or would you rather be reconnected, reunited with someone who could fill your heart with life and joy, connection? Come on. That's what God does. That's who he is. He's the restorer of paths, the dwelling. He's the repairer of the breach. And where there was a gap, where there was a breach, he says, I repair those. I put people back together. I draw them into one another. That's the God that we serve. And that's what he did in Christina's life. That's what he was doing in this woman's life. This woman at the well who was so torn apart. So I want to pick up, and there's what I just quoted you. When God asks you for something, it is because he wants to give you something. Remember Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000? He said, how many fish, how many loaves of bread do you have? Jesus asked the question not because he needed to know. Hello? He could have taken that little piece of cracker you just ate for communion, and he could have fed a whole nation with it. He doesn't need to know how many loaves you got. He dropped bread from heaven. When there was no bread, come on, bread just fell from heaven. He doesn't need it. When he asks you a question, why? It's because he wants to give you enough to feed a multitude. When God asks you for something, he's not looking for sustenance. Hello? You know that? You ever had God ask you for something and you're like, oh, Lord, and we're all focused on what I got and what he's asking me? No, it's not about what you have. It's about what he wants to give you. It's about what he wants to give you. And so he says to this woman, give me a drink. She's all messed up. Why would you ask me for a drink? You being a Jew, and I don't have any dealings. And Jesus said, if you only knew. If you only knew. How many times has God asked us? You know, sometimes we just forget things. But, beloved, God does ask us to do things. He walked in the garden, told Adam and Eve, it wasn't a question, it was a statement. He said, don't eat from that tree in the midst of the garden. Now, let me ask you, now, why would he say that? He said it because he was trying to give them life eternal. Life without sin. Life without any of that. Knowledge of good and evil stuff. That's why he said it. Why? God is the ultimate giver in his nature. His nature is to give. Do you know that with God, see, he doesn't take in, he gives out. Just constantly giving. All right. So let's go back to this text. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. That's a loaded question. That's a loaded statement. It's a question. She said, why, you being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? She says that later on. So he was asking her for a drink. But when God asks us for something, it's not because he's looking for sustenance. There's nothing you and I have God needs. Come, listen, get that into your spirit. I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit. I've already been praying for us. Holy Spirit, get, because when he says something to you, right, when God tells you something like that, there's nothing that I have that God needs. Huh? Paul said in Acts chapter 17, he said that to the people who were worshiping the God of the unknown, the tomb of the unknown God, he said, or the shrine, he said that the God who made the heavens and the earth, he's not worshipped with men's hands in that he needed anything. You see? But he's the one who gives life to all. We'll get to that scripture in a sec. When God asks us for something, it's not because he's looking for sustenance. It is that we might consider our situation, see our need, and seek his help. When God asks us for something, it is so that we might see our own need, consider our situation, and seek his help. You see, this woman that he asked for a drink didn't recognize that she needed not only a drink, she needed an everlasting source of life. Why? Because the little thing she had put together, it wasn't working. To the tune of five husbands and going on the sixth, it wasn't working. Hello? It just wasn't working. Well, so we see God, Jesus asking her a question, and we remember in the Old Testament, God asked Adam a question, remember? Genesis 3:9. After they had sinned, the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Man, when God asked me a question, I started getting a little nervous. Because when he asks questions, the question isn't for him. Hello? He's omniscient. He does not ask questions to get knowledge. When God asks you a question, that question is for you. That question is for me. And so he said, "Adam, where are you?" So that Adam might consider, well, I'm over here and you're over there and I'm supposed to be with you and I'm not. There's something wrong. Lord, would you help me? That's where the whole question was going. So he didn't stop there. Remember, he went to Cain. When Cain was upset because of his offering, the Lord said, "Why are you angry?" It'd be a wonderful thing just to go through the scriptures and study the questions of God. Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? He says, "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" God was trying to help Cain resist the temptation to sin by murdering his brother. That's why God questioned Cain. See? And so we see Jesus questioning this woman. I told you last week, Jesus asked for what she really needed. Many times when God asks you something, you're the one in need of it. Lord knows he isn't. Jesus ultimately wanted this woman to consider the source of her temporal fulfillment and consider his offer of eternal fulfillment. He wanted her to consider the source of her temporal fulfillment and consider his offer of eternal fulfillment. All right. I'll put it up there again because I want you to get it. When God asks you for something, it's because he wants to give you something. Okay? I want to show you one example in the Old Testament. I'll show you another example in the New Testament just to show you that the Word of God confirms itself. I don't have to convince or connive or do anything like that. Look, this is my deep doctrine. No, this is simply what the Scripture teaches. Here's another thing. God always gives man infinitely more than man could ever give God. God always gives to man infinitely more than what man could give to God. And so here we come, and some millionaire comes, and he gives $3 million. He thinks he done something. Please, come on. No, it's you know that you cannot give God, number one, right? But as we'll see as we go into the Old Testament, God, when he gives, and God, when he asks man to give, it's for a reason and a purpose. When he asks a question, when he asks for something. So we'll start with Abraham and Isaac. Remember Genesis chapter 22, 1 and 2, and it reads this way. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, Here I am. And then the Lord said, Take now your son. And then watch them, because God is asking for something here. Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. God asked for Isaac. And remember, when God asks you for something, it's because he wants to give you something. Okay? And we see this played out in the life of Abraham. We'll remember in verse 8, without reading the whole account, it says, Abraham said, remember Isaac said, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where is the lamb? Where is the offering for the sacrifice? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself a lamb. You're going to see what God is doing here in a moment. He's asking for Abraham to give up his temporal son. Because when Abraham does that, God says, Good, now because you were willing, I'm going to give you my eternal son. That was God's way of getting his son into the earth through the loins of Abraham. And then here in verses 12 and 14, we see it. And God said, the angel said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. And there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered up a burnt offering instead of his son. God asked for him to sacrifice his son, but God said, No, I have one who's going to offer himself instead of your son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Will Provide. Now listen, beloved, I know that's Jehovah Jireh, and a lot of times we sing Jehovah Jireh, my provider, my God will supply for me, he will meet all my needs, and listen, he will, but when God coined that, when God put that there, that was not for any temporal need. That was for an eternal need to wipe out the sin of humanity. That's what that provision was for. When God thinks provision, he does not think about your temple, I need a new car, he knows all of that. That's right. But first God said, no, first things first. You need your soul and your spirit redeemed from sin. And that's what God did. You see how when God asked for Isaac, God wanted to give and bring into the earth his eternal son, Jesus. When God asks you for something, it's because he wants to give you something. It's because he wants to give you something. All right, let's move to the New Testament account, another picture. Matthew 19, 21 and 22. About the rich young ruler, you remember he came to Jesus and said, What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, Thou shalt not steal, not murder, not covet, so forth. And Matthew's account, excuse me, maybe Luke's account, he said, And you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. Leviticus 23:19, I believe it is, where that is originally given in the law. Shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the rich young ruler, obviously he was not doing that. But Jesus said, but the rich young ruler said, All these things I've kept from my youth up, what more do I lack? Jesus said, If you want to be perfect, go. Now watch what Jesus is telling him now. He's going to tell him something. Why? Because Jesus wants to give him something. Now, this would apply a lot to America because America, we're quote unquote the wealthiest nation on the planet. At least people say that. But I recall a church in the book of Revelations that Jesus said, you are increased with goods. You have more than the world. You have this and that on the right and the left is the Laodicean church. And he said, I'm sorry, not the Laodicean church. I believe the church, I forget Thyatira, Pergamum, Smyrna, I forget which church it was. But Jesus said, I counsel you to buy from me gold in the fire, because he said, you're poor. Even though they were wealthy, physically, monetarily, they were wealthy, but Jesus said, you're as poor as you can be. Though they had clothes to change into 7 days a week, Jesus says, you're naked. Wow. Why? Because Jesus doesn't see things the way we see things. Come on. So he said to the rich young ruler, if you would be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. Huh? But when the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He went away from Jesus sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The most heartbreaking part of this was that he went away. He went away. Two things Jesus wanted to give this young man. Two things. First was relationship. What did he ask the young man? He said, go, sell your possessions, give what you have to the poor. And he said this, and come and follow me. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. Who in here would like to live the rest of your life without Jesus? Yeah, I didn't think so. Why? Because by virtue of him living in us, by virtue of our relationship with him, we are eternally rich. And we would not part with that for anything. Jesus was offering this man relationship. Another account, because this is given in Mark and the book of Luke, another account, it says, Jesus said, sell what you have, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus was asking him to do two things, one of which was to deny yourself to receive me. Listen, if you're going to have Jesus, you have got to die. Come on. Hey, listen, the more Jesus grows in me, the more me, the more I'm taking a back seat. Come on, there's this song this boy Lecrae made called Living in the or Background. And all he talks about is living in the background and Jesus being out front of everything. Boy, that song is good. And why? Because he understands that he must take a back seat and let Jesus take the wheel. Amen? Jesus take the wheel. So, Jesus was trying to give this young man relationship with him. He told him, give away your earthly riches that you might receive heavenly riches. Come on, two principles, relationship and heavenly riches that Jesus was trying to bring. He was asking this young man, do this so that you can have this. He wanted to give this young man something. This young man didn't want it. He walked away sorrowful. He walked away from the creator of heaven and earth. He walked away from the one who said to Peter, we need tax money, go fishing. Pull up a fish. There it is. He walked away from the man of Galilee, from the one who would hang on a tree and give his life a ransom for many. When Jesus asks you for something, it's because he wants to give you something. Jesus asked that woman for a drink because he wanted to give her a fountain. What is Jesus asking you for? What is he asking me for? I can tell you what he wants from me. I can tell you what he's asking me. He's same thing in here. Same thing, he's the rich young ruler. He's saying, son, But see, it's not clouded. You know, he's just being straight with me. He said, son, I want you. Do you know what he wants me to have more of? And you would never say no to this. You know what he wants me to have more of? You think it's dreams or visions? Do you think it's more work at Kendra? Do you think, you know, all that would be nice. Do you know what he wants me to have more of? Himself. That's what he's saying. He wants me to have more of himself. Well, you know, in order for that to happen, sometimes, you know, God has to say, I want you to leave that alone. Huh? You know, and so at night, and I love reading my Bible before I go to bed, you know, when I hear feel that holy nudge, just come away. And I hear, you know, and that picture flashes in my mind, me in my bed, in the bedroom, reading the scripture, and God is, he's there. When I'm reading, he's there. I mean, he's there. When I'm in prayer, he's there. And when he calls me away. So sometimes when God asks you to do something, why? It's because he's trying to give you more of who he is. Nothing will satisfy. Nothing will satisfy. The young ruler went away sorrowful. And if he never turned to Jesus, he probably remained sorrowful. I don't know. Maybe he bumped into Luke 15 boy running back home. You know, maybe he ran into the prodigal and the prodigal said, man, give it up. Give it up. Man, ain't nothing at the end of that road. I'm going back home. Hello, I'm going back home to be with my father. Maybe he did make it. I don't know. All right. So he goes on. Let's see where I went here. Okay. We go on here. Jesus asked the woman for a drink, and she starts talking about the dealings of Jews and Samaritans. Jesus said this in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, and I said last week that we were all in that place at one time where we didn't know the gift of God. We were in the same place that Samaritan woman was in. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him. If you knew who was talking to you. Let me share a story. Yesterday, we had put our car in the shop, and the shuttle driver came to pick us up. It was a woman, talkative, little old lady, nice lady. And we're talking about the heat and everything. You know, I'm talkative, too. I can run with the best of them, so bring it. And so she's talking. She says, hey, I got a story for you. I said, I'm good for stories. Let's hear it. She says, I grew up in California. And we had church. One of those families where my parents sent us to church. They didn't go, but my mother sent us to church. And so we went to church, but the church had no place to meet. They used to meet outside, but it got so hot, they decided to meet in this other building. It was a mortuary. I said, oh, no, stop right there. She said, no, it gets better. I said, oh, my goodness. So she says, we're having services, caskets, you know, right all around us. I'm 12 years old. She says, I'm scared. Anyhow, the service ends, and I'm walking home. It's very hot outside, and I'm walking home, and a man pulls up right on the street and says, hey, it's very hot outside. Don't you want to ride home? And she says, no. Nope. My mother said, my parents said, no, I'm not supposed to take rides from strangers. Leave me alone. And so she goes on walking, and she picks up her pace a little bit. And he says, no, come on. I can give you a ride home. You know me. Come on. And she says, no, I don't know you. I don't know you. Just leave me alone. And so he goes for about 2 miles. And he's, you know, he said, come on, I can give you a ride home. I know it's hot outside. Don't, you know me, I can give you a ride home. She finally gets home, busts through the door. Mom, I'm home. This man wanted to give me a ride home. She says, you didn't get in the car, did you? No, mommy, I knew you wouldn't want me to, and daddy would kill me. I didn't get in the car. And so the next day, the little girl's watching television. Little girl, I mean, she's 12 years old. She's like mommy's age. And so she's watching television, and she yells, she says, Mama, come in here. The man who wanted to give me a ride, he's on TV. And, you know, my heart's beating. I'm thinking, wow, my goodness, and this isn't good, you know. And so she says, here he is right here. Her mother runs in, looks at the television. It was Elvis Presley. He was in California making movies, singing. But she was 12. She didn't know who he was, but he thought that he was so famous. That's why he kept saying, you know me. You know me. Come on, I can give you a ride home. You know me. She's like, no, I don't know you. I don't know you. And her mother looks at her and says, oh, my goodness, it's Elvis Presley. Jesus says, now, I don't mind that little girl not knowing who Elvis Presley is. But I tell you, Jesus said, if you knew who it is who says to you, if you knew who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. There's a lot of people out there, they don't know who Jesus is. But you see, that's why Jesus went through Samaria, because he had to let this woman know who he was. And so Jesus in the life of people today is in the business of letting them know who he is. Sherry called me just a couple days ago saying, I got this friend and she done had this, I mean, it was credible, it was prophetic. It is just, this woman does not know Jesus, but she has a prophetic vision. Nails it. I'm talking nails it down to the minute details. And she tells Sherry, and Sherry's like, yeah. And so Sherry's calling me, Pat, what's up here? You know what's going on and everything. And but you know, God is in the business. You know, God speaks to sinners. Hello? And you let me hear your voice calling me. And you let me hear your voice calling me. Yeah, he speaks to sinners. And so that's what that vision and prophetic is all about. This ultimate use God would have for it would be redemption. Okay, so now we find in this passage of Scripture that God doesn't need man. Man needs God, right? Listen, if Jesus never got the drink he asked for from her, he's fine. The disciples are coming back. They got food. They got everything. But if she doesn't get that fountain of living waters, she's dead eternally. Who needs who? Come on. Who needs who? Well, I quoted earlier this Scripture, Acts 17, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temple made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Bill mentioned the atheists earlier. God gives to the atheists life, breath, and all things. They don't know it, but he does. Why? Because God's nature is giving. Jesus said in Mark 10, 45, he said, the Son of Man has come to minister, not to be served. Yeah, I came to serve, not to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. That's what he said. God, in his nature, he's giving. He's giving. Is it any wonder? We're not going to go into giving and tithing and all that, but when God asks his people to give, come on. He's saying, join in my nature. Be like me, because I'm living in you. And if he is, you will give, because that's his nature. And so we see that Jesus didn't come necessarily to take this drink from this woman. Jesus was coming to give this woman something. First and foremost. Further down in the chapter, it says, verse 28 and 29, says, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. And so the woman goes on and she says to Jesus, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. You have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Well, the woman came with something to draw with, apparently. Jesus didn't have anything to draw with. Well, that makes sense because this well, if what it represented for this woman was her natural abilities to draw out of life something that would satisfy and meet her need. Now, we've all drawn at that well. Come on. We've all been there and drawn from, you know, today a lot of young people are trying to draw from Justin Bieber and find purpose and find something in this young man. He's beautiful. He can dance. He can sing. Oh, I love him. There's got to be something there for me. Sorry, that well is dry. If there's water there, it will not satisfy. Come on. We all, there's people, you know, I'm driving down the road and people trying to light to get that tempo stick together and they sit up and I'm like, would you drive? Come on, there's no life in that thing, man. But give it up. So it goes to alcohol, the drugs, the sex, you name it, it goes to all of it. And we're drawing at the well. The woman says, Jesus, you ain't got nothing to draw with. She says, I got something to draw with and the well is deep. Yeah, that's the problem. This thing is deep. And we keep drawing and we keep looking for life. We keep, you know, thinking it's going to satisfy. Why doesn't Jesus have anything to draw with? Because the well he's going to give you a drink from ain't from this world. The well that he's going to draw from is not of this world. Isn't that what Jesus said? My kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Jesus says, don't you worry about the world, for I've overcome it. He says, peace I give to you. Not the peace of the world, but the peace I give you will never pass away. Joy I give you. All right. Let me skip some of this. Jesus said in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. Did I put it up there? No, I didn't. That's all right. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. That's why you can find, go over to other countries and find some of the poor saints with big old smiles across their faces, worshiping God jubilantly. Why? Because they see righteousness isn't tangible. Peace isn't tangible. You can't grab it. You can't keep it up. Joy is not. Jesus was telling us about his kingdom. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. It's spiritual in nature. And once you get me, the Prince of Peace, the one who's King of Spirits, King of Saints, then you have all of that, the righteousness, the peace, and the joy. And Jesus is trying to get this woman to see that you can drink from another well. You can drink from another well. Actually, it was the woman who didn't have anything to draw with. Hello? It was the woman who didn't have anything to access the wealth of the living waters that were hidden in Christ Jesus. She had nothing to draw with. Why? Because she was drawing from a natural well. And so in John 13 through 15, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Will never thirst. Can I tell you something? As a believer in Jesus, I do not believe that you and I thirst spiritually for anything else, because why? God has fulfilled us. Just like, let's get a picture, Genesis chapter 3. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. Was Eve hungry? Is that why she ate? No. She was tempted. God had fulfilled every need. Jesus said, he who drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. You know what I believe? When Christians dabble into things and get into things, it's not because they're spiritually thirsty, because we have the fountain of living waters living within us. You know what happens? Satan comes along and he begins to tip. And he begins to get you to get, look at it and you begin, you know what? That's looking pretty good. I am feeling kind of hungry. You ain't not hungry. You've just been full of the Spirit. You just, I mean, you read your Bible. You can read your Bible, get full of God, and then be tempted. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? And so, I believe what Jesus said is true. He fulfills us spiritually. That thirst is quenched by the fountain of living waters within us. He goes on to say, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. A fountain will fill a cup many thousands of times. Amen?